Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so it begins, our annual walk with Jesus through another Holy Week. We don't pretend that the events are actually happening all over again. Jesus did not ride into Jerusalem again today on a donkey, nor will he be crucified this Friday, nor will his body return to the tomb for the great Sabbath rest. So there's no need for us to be overly somber or mournful this week. Holy Week isn't for reenacting these events from the life of Jesus. It's for remembering, or if necessary, learning for the first time what that special week was all about. The lessons Jesus taught, the things Jesus suffered, and the reason why he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. As Martin Luther wrote in his order for the German Mass, Lent, Palm Sunday, and Holy Week shall be retained, not to force anyone to fast, but to preserve the Passion history and the Gospels appointed for that season. Holy Week shall be like any other week, save that the Passion history be explained every day for an hour throughout the week, or on as many days as may be desirable, and that the sacrament be given to everyone who desires it. For among Christians, the whole service should center in the Word and sacrament. And so it shall be. Just about everything that took place during that first Holy Week took everyone by surprise, except for Mary, the sister of Martha and of Lazarus. Mary knew, at least in a general way, how that week would end. That's why she poured out all that expensive oil or perfume on Jesus' head and feet, as he says, to anoint him for his burial, which would take place within a week's time from that Saturday or Friday evening. Mary knew, and of course Jesus knew. He knew everything, even where his disciples would find a pair of donkeys tied up, a mother and her colt. And still, knowing how the week would end, he sent for those donkeys. And he got up on that young colt on which no one had ever sat before. It had been reserved in God's master plan for this sacred use by the Son of God. Not that he needed it to get into Jerusalem. He had always walked into the city before. No, he needed it to send the intended message, a message which even his own disciples didn't fully understand until after the fact. It was the message that God had sent to Israel hundreds of years earlier through the prophet Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The message was that Jesus was the promised Christ, that he was the true, the eternal King of the Jews, that he had come to bring salvation to his people, and that he had come to do it first in a spiritual way, not as a glorious champion, but as a humble one, not as a commander of armies riding in on a horse, but as the commander of angel hosts riding in on a donkey, not as a king sitting on a throne, but as a king hanging from a cross. He would bring salvation to his people, not by seizing power, but by allowing himself to be seized. He would bring salvation, not by punishing the guilty, but by bearing the guilt of all men. not by ushering in an age of justice among men, but by suffering the most terrible injustice at the hands of men. The one who occupied the highest place of power and glory together with God the Father would humble himself down to the lowest place of shame, disgrace, and death. And yet, for all his humility, Jesus welcomed the praises of the people that day. They weren't the empty praises of flatterers. They were the genuine praises of people who knew that they needed saving somehow and who believed that Jesus was coming to save them somehow, although they didn't know what kind of saving they actually needed nor how Jesus would accomplish their salvation. They didn't realize that their greatest enemy was the devil, a far greater enemy than poverty or social injustice or political oppression. The devil, the one who had approached the first human beings in a garden and overcame them by convincing them to rebel against God by eating from a forbidden tree, whence death arose. They didn't grasp how big God's plans were, that He had ordained the salvation of mankind to come from another tree, from the tree or the wood of the cross. Listen for a reference to that later in the proper preface before Holy Communion today. God ordained that so that the people might eat from that tree and live forever. How? By believing in the crucified Christ, who was delivered up to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification, that we might be justified by faith in the one who willingly made his way to the cross for us. Through all the opposition that he faced during Holy Week, through all the suffering he endured from the Garden of Gethsemane up to the great, it is finished. The people of Jerusalem couldn't fathom all that Jesus, their true Passover lamb, would endure on their behalf during that Holy Week. And yet, they still went out to meet him and sang his praises with joy in their hearts. God the Father had ordained that Jesus must receive this well-deserved praise as the one who comes in the name of the Lord. He even insisted on it, so that if the people had remained silent, then the stones themselves would have had to cry out in praise of Jesus, the King of the Jews, as Jesus told the angry Pharisees that day. But the joy wouldn't last, at least not for most of Jerusalem. Jesus foresaw that and wept for the city, for the people whom God the Father had invited ahead of time to this great banquet of salvation that His Son would bring. He wasn't weeping for what the Jews would do to Him on Good Friday. Yes, their behavior would be wicked and appalling, but they could have been forgiven for that. Jesus was about to give His life to make atonement for all the wickedness of men, even the wickedness of crucifying the very Son of God. But there is no forgiveness, only condemnation, both temporal and eternal, for those who refuse to repent of their wickedness, who go on living in it, who are proud of their sins, or who try to make up for them in some other way than by trusting in Jesus Christ, whose blood alone can reconcile sinners to God. But you are here today as those who have repented of your wickedness, who do repent of it, and who recognize the Lord Jesus as your King and as your Savior. You know that He came to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to spend the week there fighting for you, suffering for you, and teaching you the things you need to know for your salvation. So may the Lord bless our meditations this week as we hear large portions of His inspired Word. May God bless our learning and our remembering. And may He grant us the Spirit to hear and to listen, to thank and to praise, to love and to appreciate Jesus, our Savior and King, and to rejoice in Him and in the peace of His kingdom. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.